Eyes crowd this morning. And for all those who were here Wednesday, unfortunately you get to hear me again, but Brett was gracious enough to swap with me since my schedule conflicted with when I was originally scheduled here to speak. And if you were here Wednesday, we spoke for a little bit on the three cheers of the New Testament or things in the life of a Christian that should make them very happy. And this is kind of a related idea because as I studied about the three cheers, so to speak, I began to realize there was really an example of being an encourager in the Bible, and those cheers should serve to give us that root, that foundation to lead us to want to be this kind of person that we want to study today. And you know, one of the saddest things in our day and age is that there seems to be a great deficiency of kind people. Here in America, there are entire cities and sometimes even states with a reputation for being rude, uncaring, and mean-spirited people. And truly, this is a sad state in which the world now dwells, and sometimes I really wish I could go back and live in the time about which I've been told and learned in school when hospitality was simply a common courtesy. You know, in the time when you could go door to door just about anywhere just to meet someone new or to say hello. Instead of feeling bothered and intruded upon, these people were always glad to meet you too. Yes, today it seems common kindness and caring for your fellow man have fallen by the wayside almost entirely, or even more so, have been considered a sign of weakness, or that you are not able to live in a world such as today, such a modern cutthroat day. But the good news is that this kindness will never fully pass away, as long as the children of God still exist upon the earth. For you see, this is exactly how every child of God ought to be. And in our day and age, it serves to make us stand out as a special people all the more. We see around us many people who are opinionated, self-centered, rude, and sometimes just plain mean in their dealings with others. And this ought not to be the case, especially among the people saved by the Word of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that the Lord would have us to practice a life of encouragement as we go about our business here in this world. And two verses in Ephesians specifically come to mind, the first being Ephesians 4 and verse 2. There the Bible reads, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." And also in the same chapter of Ephesians, but verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." It is then easy to see that we are to be a positive, peaceful, and peaceable people. And today, for just a short while, I would like to examine a man with you who was quite an example of what a Christian ought to be in this area of their life. This man is introduced to us in Acts 4, verse 36 and 37, and his name is Joseph, though he is better known by the name of Barnabas. And there, if you'd like to read with me in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36 and 37, the Bible says, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, when this man first appeared in the early days of the church, the obscurity in which he was previously shrouded was taken away, as we see him doing immediately good works for the benefit of the church. And later, when his story, as seen in the Bible, is concluded, we see him again exit the scene doing more of the same. In fact, the Bible's record of this man's life and ministry reveal him to be a man whose heart was set upon doing good things to all those who he came in contact with. You'll have to pardon me a little bit. My throat is bothering me, and I may stumble over these sentences once or twice, but I'll do my best to get through. And I'd like to take some time with you to examine the things revealed about this man in the Scriptures, see why he earned this name, the Son of Consolation, which, by the way, was a very special name. The word used for consolation here comes from the same word that is translated comforter, and which refers to the Holy Ghost in John 14 and verse 26. You know, it refers to one who comes alongside another to offer help or encouragement. And apparently Barnabas had earned this reputation among the disciples of Christ as one who was a help and encourager of others at all times. So as we go about examining his life and why he was given this name, let's examine ourselves and see whether or not we might be classified as encouraged by those with whom we associate. And the first step in becoming an encourager is that you must learn to reach out. This is one of the most important steps because if we don't reach out to those in need, we can never begin to fill those needs. You know, there are many different ways in which we can reach out, and we can learn about a few of them in the life of Barnabas. Again, let's look at his example in Acts 9, verses 26 and 27. There in Acts 9, the Bible says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Now, essentially in this passage, we find an example of Barnabas encouraging the desperate. After Saul was here converted, after realizing all the terrible things he had done in persecuting Christ and his church, he then tried, after being saved and being baptized, he tried to unite himself with the other disciples here in Jerusalem. But unfortunately, out of fear of Saul's original reputation and prejudice about his past, they were afraid to allow him into their group. However, Barnabas came to Saul's aid. He stood at his side and stood up for him and told the others about this man's amazing and authentic conversion. Barnabas here left us the example that we need to stand up for those who desperately need a friend. And there is still a great need for this today. An extra effort it must be made to reach out to those around us who seem to be lonely and rejected by others. And this is especially true at church. We should strive to make the worship service a place where everyone feels accepted and welcome, as though they belong. You know, there was a time in my life where I didn't feel that welcome at church because I didn't make it my priority, but there were a lot of people in my life who made this extra effort. They followed in Barnabas' example, and they reached out to me. And if it weren't for those people, I don't think I'd be here today. But the assembly of the church is a place where everyone who darkens the door should feel as though they have finally returned home after a long and arduous journey. And I can tell you today that every Sunday, every Wednesday, when I walk through those doors, I feel the same. And that's just about true of every church I've been to around the country. Truly, the church is a special place today. And after all, we are but pilgrims in this world. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 describes us as such. So we shouldn't feel at home in the world, but here, when we come to worship together, is when we truly feel at home. Now, is this descriptive of your life and practices today? If not, then perhaps a change is in order. We ought to find ourselves actively engaged in this activity, and if you look around, you will see an abundance of lonely and outcast people. After all, Jesus found those who needed a friend and was a friend to them. Likewise, this is what he expects us to do. As well, you know, we are to, as encouraging the discouraged or the desperate, we are also to encourage the disciples, as we see in Acts 11, verse 22 and 23. There in Acts 11, the Bible reads, "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go out as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." Now here we see when the church of Jerusalem learned that there was a new group of believers in Antioch, they sent Barnabas, the son of encouragement, to help them along. And the Bible tells us that when he arrived, he exhorted them. Essentially, this means that he offered them encouragement. He encouraged them to continue in their work. You know, Barnabas was excited about what God was doing here and how these new converts were serving the Lord. And he did his best to encourage them and to assist them in their work for God. And here we have another lesson from the life of Barnabas. We ought to do everything in our power to encourage, exhort, and uplift our fellow believers in their walk with the Lord. You know, it's a great thing to acknowledge and celebrate the successes of a fellow laborer, as well as at times deliver a gentle rebuke if necessary, if someone strays from the path. Our duty to each other is to help one another grow in the Lord, and to be encouragers, Romans 14, verse 19, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. You know, in most cases, there are two types of people in every church. One type seems to seek to only find all the fault with others and the work of the church that they can. They seem to only do their best to tear others down. But the other type, the type that everyone should strive to be, is the one who seeks to build up the church and the fellow believers as they seek to help them grow in the Lord. And really, it seems as though when you become that type of person, it's because you're so focused on your own flaws and your own issues that you don't have time to look for flaws of others. And we need to examine our own actions and determine which type of person that we are. And hopefully, most, if not all of us, are the latter. And we put a great deal of effort into the work of encouraging one another. Now, at times we will discourage a brother, or we will encounter a brother or sister or friend who have become discouraged, and simply enough, they need a Barnabas in their life. We need to encourage the discouraged. The Bible says in Acts 15, verse 36 through 40, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Now from this story, we learn that Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark were together on a missionary journey for some time, and for some reason, John Mark left them during this work to return to Jerusalem, as we can see in Acts 13:13. Now, Paul and Barnabas are ready to go out on another journey. They're ready to go back and visit those with whom they had studied to encourage them, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them again, seemingly to give him a second chance to get him back involved in the work. He and Paul then have a disagreement, and so they part company, Acts 15, verse 36 through 40. Paul takes Silas, and they depart, while Barnabas again takes John Mark and disappears from the biblical account. Now, while Barnabas is never heard from again, his ministry, his encouragement to John Mark, had far-reaching consequences. Since Barnabas gave this discouraged and defeated young man a second chance, his life as a servant of God was salvaged. In fact, before Paul died in Rome, he requested that Mark be sent to him in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Even more important is the fact that because Barnabas took the time to encourage a discouraged brother, Mark was used of the Lord to pen the Gospel of Mark, which gives us an exciting account of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful a message this is for you and me. How many times have we seen fellow believers fall by the wayside, and it seems that sometimes our natural tendency is to wash our hands of the matter or forget about them and move on with our lives. But God's plan with them, for them, however, is far different. It's not for us to kick a brother or a sister when they're down, but for us to reach out to them with a loving spirit and offer whatever help is necessary to restore them to a place of fellowship and service. We should be like the Good Samaritan, stopping, binding up their wounds, and going the extra mile by giving whatever time or effort we need to help them recover. However, many seem content to simply find fault with these fallen fellows, retaining their shortcomings in their memory and again moving on with their own lives. But how lucky we are that the Lord wasn't like this. How wonderful that instead our God is a God of second chances, Jonah 3, verse 1. If God could forgive those such as the Ninevites, and Christ could pray for the forgiveness of the very people who hung him on the cross, Luke 23, verse 34, how much more so should we be able to at least do so for those close to us, and hopefully even to strangers? If we strive to be an encourager, we will soon find that we can. The encourager not only has this outward duty, but he also has an upward duty. He does not merely reach out to those surrounding him, but he also reaches up as he works for the Lord. The encourager furthers the work of God. An encourager will utilize his or her spiritual gifts and love for the Lord, and the Lord's people will see that the work of the Lord is carried out. To be a good encourager, we must first promote the work of God. The first impression we are given of Barnabas is that he was a man who gave of himself freely. He used his goods and the things at his disposal to both ensure that the work would continue and enhance its effectiveness. And we ought to be the same. You know, a Christian should take stock of their time, their tithes and talents, and use them effectively so that the church can prosper. We should never be content to allow this burden of the work to rest upon the shoulders of one or two individuals. When we do these things properly, we leave an encouraging example for others who will likely follow suit. When we see great advancements or successes in the work of God or the work of the church, it's not something that we should just nod our heads at and forget about and move on. Instead, we should have the same attitude as Barnabas had, where he openly praised the work of God in Acts 11, verse 23 through 26. There the Bible speaks of Barnabas, and it says, "When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Here, when Barnabas had seen this great work being done, he didn't just sit by and say, oh, good job, or just nod his head. He went and sought out Saul and brought him to see this exciting work that was being done. He didn't just keep the good news quiet. And in some ways, this is similar to something we have today. You know, in the OPA, we have field reports of works going on, and we constantly receive works from other countries, reports about the exciting work. And these are messages of encouragement that we can hear of successes around the country and around the world and take heart that God's word does still indeed prevail today, even today in this angry, mean-spirited society. You know, we have a real and dire need for this kind of attitude in the church because we still have these reports, but it seems to be less and less that this attitude prevails. There are so many today who wish only to badmouth the church and criticize it when something doesn't go the way it was initially suspected, especially those outside of the church. And sadly, it gets so bad in their opinion that these people begin going from church to church, if they were within the church, looking for the ever-elusive paradise of perfect people. But we must be wary today not to have these negative and critical attitudes, especially in front of an unbeliever, because when we speak ill of the church in front of those who need it, we may well cause them to be condemned to hell by making it sound like a place that no one would want to be. More than this, such an attitude is easily enough one to cause our own selves to be lost. It can be very easy to fall into this snare of defeatism that nothing we do or can do will ever be enough, that we are not ready to spread the gospel, that we are insufficient to meet the task. And friends, if your mindset is that you is ever that you are not ready to do the work of the Lord, the work the Lord has left for you, then, well, you better get ready, because with an attitude like that, the devil has already won your battle. If you are unwilling to try for fear of failing, then you have failed completely already. If you have a test set before you and you don't know if you will pass it or not, well, the surest way to fail is to not take the test at all. What we must do then is to determine in our hearts that we will be like Barnabas. We will be sons and daughters of encouragement. And when we see someone fail, instead of the I told you so's, ask, what can I do to help? We should always strive instead to exalt the work of God and promote the gospel to every creature. And this brings us to another thing the encourager must do. He or she must participate in the work of God. Barnabas' decision to devote his life to the work of the Lord was one that changed him forever. From that moment forward, everywhere that Barnabas went, he was a servant of the Lord. And the lesson learned here from his life should be obvious to us. No matter where we go, what we are doing, who we are with, we are servants of the Lord. We may be on vacation, at home, off running errands in town, or otherwise out, away from something or another, seemingly away from our responsibilities, but we are never off duty or off the clock in our work as Christians, and as such, we are to act and live accordingly. We never know when an opportunity to encourage, enlighten, entreat, or enlist may present itself, so we must be ever ready to seize every opportunity as it arises. And when we do so, we are not only being successful in the work that the Lord has left for us to do, but our example is also an encouragement for others to do the same. When we serve the Lord with enthusiasm and zeal, our light shines to our brothers and sisters, encouraging them to follow suit. And therefore, when it comes time to fulfill a portion of your work for the Lord, such as attending the worship service, you should do your very best to arrive early, arrive alert, arrive prepared, and arrive excited, ready to serve God. After all, should be the high point of your week. This is the closest to heaven we get in this life. We need to let people see how much we truly enjoy what we do in our lives as Christians. And if we find no joy in it, then we must both search out for our lost joy and pray that God help restore it to us. As encouragers, then, to further the work of God, we must promote it or actively find ways to work and expand the boundaries of the kingdom. We also need to praise the work, not just keep the good news of success and work to ourselves, but share it with others as the good news that it is. And we must also participate in the work, for there is plenty for all to do. An encourager not only furthers the work of God, but he will also finish it. The Bible says in Acts 12, verse 25, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now from this verse, we learn that there is an ultimate goal for the encourager that he is striving to meet. And here it says that Paul and Barnabas returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, or when their work was done. They did not simply stop by long enough to begin a work, but they stayed to see it through, to see it finish. And this was so they could help whenever and wherever that they could. As such, they stood as great encouragers to their fellow laborers around them. You know, if you truly desire to be an encouragement to those around you like Paul and Barnabas were, then make sure you never leave a job unfinished. We should be completely faithful to the task which God has called us up to and work until the job is done or until God calls us home. There is no room for quitting in the work of the Lord. How encouraging have the older generations been to the church, those stalwart soldiers who lived wholly for God through every trial, temptation, and trouble in their lives, never once wavering in their faith. You know, there are many men and women gone on who spring to mind as examples of encouragement and enthusiasm in their work for the Lord that I remember almost daily who motivate me to follow in their footsteps. The Christians we have personally known in the years past, those who we may not have known personally, but we've heard many stories about from decades gone by, and the stories again of the great leaders of the church in its infancy, are all blessings and messages of strength, faith, and dedication for us today. We should all desire to be like these men of old, these old examples in the scriptures, and to do so, the encourager must learn to reach in. The encourager has a responsibility to see to their own personal ministry. They must see to the needs of their personal spiritual life. It is from this work within a person that the encourager enables themselves to demonstrate the reality of Jesus. After all, no one knows you like you know yourself. And while one's specific personal ministry is often invisible to the eyes of others, the evidence is plain for all vigilant observers to behold. And this is very true in the life of Barnabas, and will be true in your life and mine as well. In Acts 11, verse 24, the Bible says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." And in this verse, again, we learn from the example of Barnabas. He is here stated to be a good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was a genuine man of God. Barnabas possessed all the characteristics that marked him as being sold out and on fire for the Lord. His life served as an encouragement to those around him, striving to live the Christian life by being holy and blameless. You know, I can't think of a better thing, a better testament for a man than for the Bible to say, "And a great many people were added to the Lord because of his example." And this is something that we should strive to have said of us one day. You know, the encourager does not simply tell others how to live in a positive and upbeat manner. Instead, he lives in such a way that his words hold true weight. Barnabas lived in such a way that when he came to work, his very example fired up those around him to jump out of complacency and run to the fields to begin the harvest. In the same way, our lives should fuel the same fire. And how fondly I ponder the times gone past when I read of really like the Restoration era, when the common man was enthusiastic in his or her every pursuit. We read of a time when hundreds were converted and immediately put their talents and abilities to work. We need a revitalization in our time and our day and age. And when you live for the Lord, your very life becomes a challenge to the ways of those around you. If they are believers who might be lazy, they will be challenged and encouraged to seek the Lord for themselves and to become more like him. So how does the Christian go about growing closer to the Lord? Well, it's a simple process, but at times it can be difficult. The believer must immerse him or herself in the Word, spend time constantly in prayer, and turn their back on the world. Now, is this possible? Some may ask. Well, yes, it is indeed possible. But is it easy? Not always. Sometimes it's the hardest thing for a person to do. But is it worth it? Well, the answer to that question is it's a resounding yes. God promised us that if we strive to have a closer walk with him, that he would ever draw nearer to us in James 4, verse 8. Beyond all these things, an encourager must be happy. The encourager displays true contentment in his life, or her life, for that matter. Acts 13, verse 49 through 52 says to us, "And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and all the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And here we read of Paul and Barnabas going about their duties and preaching the word of God. And as a result of this preaching, persecution arose against them, and unfortunately they were forced to leave town. Now, at this point, most today seem to become discouraged and give up on their work for the Lord, believing that either it didn't work or they just couldn't manage the task set before them. But instead, Paul and Barnabas leave us a good example here and teach us a good lesson to learn on the side. They shook off the dust of their feet, went on the way, and met with the disciples. And they were filled with joy. They were content with their lives, knowing that even the failures were in one way or another as some form of success. No matter what, the word of God was preached. And even though the listeners may have hardened their hearts, these men had fulfilled their duty to preach. They had fulfilled their command to preach the gospel to every creature. And their example stands today as a message of encouragement for us. Even when we fail, we are still fulfilling the commands in the Bible. Today, when we face the battles and discouragements of life, we can look to the examples of Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles, and we can be encouraged. And in truth, we show the depths of our faith when we are in the valleys of life. This is the time that shows our faith in God is real. And imagine, if we follow the example of Job in times of adversity and express joy and faith in the Lord at these deepest, darkest trenches of discouragement. Not only will this be a testament to our own personal strength and to our faith and joy, but it will help to encourage those around us when they too face their dark day. And how wonderful if during the hardships of our lives we could say, just as Job did in Job 1 and 21, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." But sadly, many today seem to wallow in self-pity and in the pity of others. And it seems some people today just like it that others are sad, that they are sad. But on the contrary, we should strive to be happy, to encourage with every action. If you can be happy and content during your hardest trials, you will do wonders for your fellow believers. And when I look at Barnabas, I realize just how far I have yet to go. So how is it with you today? If I know my heart like I think I do, I know that I really want to be considered an encourager. I want to be like Barnabas. And wouldn't you like for your life to be remembered as one of happiness, joy, and encouragement? If you do, then first it will require that you learn to rethink the priorities of your life. God is going to have to come first, above all. No matter what, he must be number one, and not out of necessity, but out of love. All else should follow after, and you must learn to put yourself last. And some, often today in our world, ask, where's the benefit in putting ourselves last? Why should I be last in my life? But the benefit lies in the Christian life, in the truth that when we make a decision to be an encourager, to be like Barnabas, God will be glorified, others will be edified, and we will be rewarded when we reach a home with God. Are you an encourager today? Are you doing everything that you can to assist and edify others? Are you wholly dedicated to God, with Him first, in your life? Well, if not, then now is the time to make a change. Now is the time to make your life right. If you're not already a baptized believer, then you must simply hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe it, Mark 16:16. Repent of your past life of sin and error, Acts 17:30. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark 16:16. Or perhaps on the other hand, you are already a member of the Lord's church, but you need to reconsider something in your life, or you need to make a change in your priorities and your example in this life. If so, if you are one of any case, don't take another time in idleness or another moment given to the devil. Take this time now and come forward as we stand and as we sing.